I'd like to share two verses of Scripture with you this evening, taken from 1 John chapter 4. And we will be looking at verses 9 and 10, where it says this: "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You on this holy night for what You have done for us. We pray, Lord, that as we hear Your word, that with open hearts and open minds and open ears, we would receive this gift of Your word, living and active in us, changing us, making us more like You. And indeed, Lord, we pray that we would receive Your incarnate word, Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray these things. Amen. I don't know if you've maybe heard this before, but apparently there's a war on Christmas. It's not sensitive or politically correct anymore to say to someone, "Merry Christmas." Rather, we should substitute "Happy Holidays." Or maybe we can celebrate the winter solstice. You know, there was a time when we had Christmas trees, but now we have holiday trees. Cards and store marketing materials say "season's greetings." And what do they emphasize? They emphasize the giving of gifts. And while a nativity scene can't be displayed in front of a courthouse in many of our communities, it's okay to display a menorah, or even the star and crescent of the Muslim faith. And at this point, even songs like "Silver Bells," which is not a Christian Christmas song, has had words replaced in it. For example, the word "Christmas" in the song "Silver Bells" has recently been replaced with the word "festive." Christmas is bordering on becoming illegal. And so, I thought I might be able to make some money off of this, and thought of a bumper sticker possibility. Here it is: "If we outlaw Christmas, only the outlaws will have Christmas." It's copyright me. Klaus recorded it December 24th, 2011. I don't want to see that show up on eBay unless I'm getting a cut. The reality is, Christmas has actually been illegal in our land before now. In the days of the British colonies, our Puritan forefathers outright banned Christmas. And they banned it because they said, "Christmas is a festival with no biblical justification, and it's a time of wasteful and immoral behavior." And they forbade gift giving. They said no decorating. And it was even wrong to acknowledge Christmas Day. As late as 1681, in the city of Boston, you could actually receive a fine for celebrating Christmas. If you celebrated Christmas, you were an outlaw. Why? Because the Puritans feared that Christmas could very easily slip into becoming just a pagan celebration, a celebration in which the only thing that mattered were gifts and parties and a festive atmosphere. And it would no longer be a time of worship of God, who gave His only Son for sinners and their salvation. And so to the Puritans, they thought, Christ would just become another character in the story rather than the story itself. Clearly, in our day, much of Christmas has in fact become secularized. So now, many respond by saying, let's put Christ back into Christmas. And what do they do to put Christ back into Christmas? They boycott Target. And they boycott the Gap stores because those stores put up signing that don't mention Christ. And we have political figures who go on the airwaves to point out which politicians from the opposite party have failed to mention Christ this year in their holiday greetings. And it seems if we don't stay on top of this, Christmas will in fact become a celebration for outlaws. Here's the amazing thing, though. The good news of Christmas has always been for outlaws. The psalmist says, "For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." In our sinful nature, we are separated from God. And we continuously break God's law in all of our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And for this, Scripture tells us, we are condemned to death. We are outlaws. But it is not just the death penalty that we live under. We live with the effects of this sin on our world and our lives today. As a result of this sin, our lives are full of trouble. Our lives are full of hardship, broken relationships, and greed. We need hope. And we try to find this hope in many different ways, and we try to create this hope for ourselves. And the world comes to us this time of year and says, celebrate the joy, peace, and love of the season. And deep down inside, we desire these things more than anything. We desire to feel joy. We desire to give love. We desire to receive love. We desire this inner peace that the world says we can have. And for this reason, it's very easy to get caught up in the trappings of the Christmas celebration. We get caught up in the gifts. We get caught up in the decorations. We get caught up in the food. We get caught up in the music. We celebrate the baby Jesus in a manger in this one time of year that seems to offer to us an escape from the difficulties throughout the rest of our lives, the challenges that we face throughout the rest of the year. But somehow, when the celebrations are over, we don't actually feel any more joyful than we did. We don't feel any more peaceful. We don't feel any more loving, and we don't feel any more loved. Those good feelings that we captured for just a few days seem to fade away. But on this night, over 2,000 years ago, God did something for us. Sinners and outlaws. And this something requires us to hear it again and again and again with fresh ears. God broke into this world of sin. God broke into this world of filth. God broke into this world of darkness. And he didn't do it with a royal celebration, but as a baby born surrounded by animals in dark and dirty conditions and laid in what we call a manger today, but is in fact a feed trough. This is where God was laid, in a feed trough. He didn't do this to make our lives a little bit better, to give us a little more joy or a little more peace or a little more love. He didn't do it to make things just a little more bearable than what it is today. In fact, if that's all that he did, that would be like offering us a better cell in jail. He came to set us free. He came to give us life, no longer as outlaws, but adopted into his family to be heirs to the king. And so John says in his first epistle, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." In his Son, God was made manifest among us. God didn't abandon us to our sin. God's love is not just an abstract sentiment that the world can put on a Christmas card. God's love is an action, and God's love is a gift to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. No longer condemned to death, those who believe in him have eternal life. But we are not saved by that belief. We are saved by Christ's atoning sacrifice for our sins. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. From before time began, God planned this. He planned to send his Son into this world as a baby that would be born in a dark and dirty stable, in a village of very little importance, in a far corner of the world, in order for this, to be pierced by nails, to be speared, to bear a cross of shame for me and for you. God gave his Son, knowing that only he could be the propitiation or the perfect sacrifice to bear God's wrath for our sins. Paul says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We, every single one of us, were disobedient outlaws to a holy God. But this baby, given to us 2,000 years ago, would satisfy the demand for perfect obedience, and he would perfectly pay for every single sin that we have committed and that we will commit, and pay for that sin nature that we have inherited from the first sin of Adam. We have to be clear. The baby in the manger is not a symbol of God excusing our sin. This baby Jesus in the manger would be a bloody sacrifice for our sins so that we would not have to pay that price. Peter says he himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. so that our sin would be put to death, that our sinful nature and all the sin that we've committed would be exchanged for Christ's righteousness. It was also over 2,000 years ago that the emperor of the Roman world, Augustus, required that the entire Roman world be registered. They needed to capture everybody because he wanted to collect taxes. Augustus, who was also known in the Roman world as the Exalted One, he was also known as the Divine Son. People called him the Son of a God. He was raising funds to pay for what was called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. And he believed, and the people believed, that the government would be able to provide freedom, security, peace, and it would just come with a price. The price of everyone registering and paying their taxes. But of course we know the Peace of Rome didn't last much longer as the Roman Empire crumbled and fell. The government could only provide a temporary peace and a flawed freedom. But in the midst of this movement of the Emperor Augustus and his plans, his order that everyone go to their hometown to be registered, God used that very moment in time to give us real peace. One that would last throughout eternity by freely giving us His Son. Freely giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to restore us to peace with God the Father, our holy and righteous Creator. And to those who would receive His gift, He makes this promise. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For the sake of Him who was born at Bethlehem, who lived among us, who was tempted in every way that we have ever been tempted, but never sinning. He who bore the penalty for your sin, exchanged your sin for His righteousness. For His sake, you are no longer an outlaw, but a child of the King. What child is this who lies in such mean a state? This is Christ the King. Amen.